to do something with your hair, but they do so much to their hair. Again, what is broided anyways? I've probably had a note on that. Plaits or braids, you know? But I think of the way in the Greek times they'd have all these braids and they'd roll them up, you know, and really... What it meant is having... This is your, you know, your glory. And all this braided hair with gold in it, maybe woven into the braids and pearls. And, Isaiah is very bold on this. I can't wait to teach that. You know, they go softly, mincing with their feet, having all these gorgeous apparel and so on and so forth, and how God's going to trade all that for some very unappealing garments. Okay, but women have to... I don't mean women out there in the world. Hey, in the world, hey, do whatever you want, all right? You people. But those who profess godliness, clothe yourself with things appropriate for that, huh? One, I'm not worried about men in church being tempted by you. Why are you going out there and causing men in the world to be tempted and to lust after you? And plus, it's your own wicked heart. And your pride, and your desire to be seen. Or maybe not. Maybe you're just foolish and young. Sometimes that's true of young women. It's like they just kind of do what they do, not realizing. But, you know, there's a certain degree you know how much time you spend in front of the mirror. How long does it take you to get ready? You know, I'm not going to put a time on it, but you know what? How much pride do you take in the way you dress? How much effort do you put into it? A lot? Maybe a problem. You need to array yourself with good works. And let that be what shines and makes you beautiful. Most people look at my wife and think, well, gee, you know, she's kind of not very flashy. She's beautiful to me because I know all the good things that are in her. Very beautiful to me. As far as the hearts of men, you know, and the garments, modest apparel can be very attractive to a man. You know, there's all kinds of, there are men who are so perverse that it doesn't matter what you do. So you cannot dress with thinking of how can I not tempt men. You know, it's ridiculous. Men are going to be tempted by women. You know? Men are even tempted by men, because that's how men are, and women are tempted by whatever. What I mean is, those sins, you're not mindful of that. You're mindful of how you are presenting yourself to yourself and to God and in the presence of all mankind. What are you adorning yourself with? Let it be as becometh women professing. Do you profess godliness? Then adorn yourself appropriately. And if the Holy Ghost doesn't teach you what that means, I've said what I said. And maybe you ought to listen to it again. It's very simple. Look to older and wiser women. Older women always kind of begin to get it when they get older. They start to dress modestly. Because when you're young, you think you're beautiful and you want to show off. And it's like, yeah. When we get old, all of a sudden, wisdom comes. Cover up. But I tell you what, I've seen old ladies that didn't learn it. And they're an old lady and they're wearing their hot pants and their high heels. And, you know, and it's just like, you're just like, and everyone see, they're like, whoa, right? And just this wrinkly old lady, right? All dressed up, all proudly. And what? She didn't learn wisdom. So a lot of times it says the older women should teach the younger women. Because most of them have. Even foolish old women have learned usually that. But some never do. It's like some men never learn. God only knows that. Dirty old men. Verse 11. I let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. There's a lot said here. First, to the matter of teaching and learning. He's speaking of things in the church. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. Again, there's another place they say, I suffer not a woman to speak, but let her ask her husband when she gets. It's the idea of interrupting in church to ask questions, right? And also the idea that a woman should usurp authority over the man. But it's given them to be in silence. There are, obviously, once again, some people like, everything is of faith until you get here. Now this is a law. I can think of plenty of times when a woman ought to teach a man, even. And people are like, whoa, what's he about to say? No. And believe me, I'm a, in my heart, in the world, in the flesh, I'm a misogynist. I hated women growing up. I hated them. It's only through my wife and my daughter that I've learned to look at women with something other than hatred and love. So, to me, you know, this is coming from me is, you understand my perspective and where I come from. It's like being gracious to women is not something that comes naturally to me. And my wife will testify. In my house, I'm the Lord and I have the authority. And I do not yield that up or allow it to be usurped. That, you know, the thing is, I may give authority it's kind of late now. I'm beginning to lose my mind as far as grasping for words. But the word I'm thinking of is I do not delegate. Or I do delegate. I can delegate authority. Anyways, go back to the woman. Okay. How is it possible that a woman could teach a man? He said, Paul, I don't suffer a woman to teach, but to be in silence. Is that at all times, in all cases? No. You know, imagine this, okay? A woman. You know, and other, we're going to go all the other epistles here of Peter and James and John and